Right. Man, hasn't it already been an amazing morning? Lots to celebrate. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I want to ask you to turn it to Matthew 13 once again. I'm going to continue kind of a second part of my message from last week about revival and atmosphere. And I hope you had a good time this morning. Hope you cut loose and just met someone new, had a good conversation, made a friend. And ate a cupcake. You know, it's funny how we associate food with different meals. Like, some of you are like, I can't eat a cupcake at 10:30. Instead, I'm just going to have this chocolate glaze filled donut. That's like, you call it a donut and it's cool for a.m. consumption, you know, for morning consumption. But we can't eat cupcakes in the morning. So anyways, hope you got over that hurdle and enjoyed yourself a cupcake this morning. There's a few left, so if you didn't and I just set you free from some legalism, feel free. In fact, how about this? At any time you want, I'm cool this morning. You just want to get up, come get yourself a cupcake, would you? And there's twofold right there. I want you to enjoy them and experience them, and I don't want to have to take them home because I will eat them, you know? All right, want to continue just to talk about revival. In our series, Revival is Blank, and we're going to insert some words there to help us understand what we mean when we're talking about revival. And you guys help me, or you guys hear me rather, talk a lot about we're believing God for revival in this church and in this city. And I say it this way, that's characterized or known by or evidenced by many people being saved, healed, set free, strengthened to stand in God, and not just to stand, but then moving forward in God's purposes for their lives, for your life. Listen, that's our heart for you, that wherever you are today in that process, that's our vision, that's our heart, that's our passion for you, for every person, every man, every woman, every young person to experience all those things that Jesus Christ has made available for you to be saved, for you to be healed, for you to be set free from things that have weighed on you or held you back or hindered you, for you to be strengthened in God's word, for you to be strengthened by connecting to spiritual family. And for you to not just be strengthened to stand, but God's calling you to some things. There's a destiny that he's created for you. There's a purpose for your life. And we're called as God's people to live out an active faith, moving forward, making a difference, starting in our hearts, our marriages, our homes, and then reaching out to this community. That's the kind of revival that we want to experience and that we're trusting God to sin. And sometimes it's helpful to also just acknowledge what revival isn't, because we all come from different backgrounds and we have some different perceptions. And for some of our religious backgrounds, revival was a certain meeting, or it was setting up a tent out on the property of the church and calling people together. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, those are good things to do. I just want you to help you see it differently this morning. It's about so much more than that. Revival is not just an event. Revival is a lifestyle that God's called us to live. It's a lifestyle that Jesus has made possible. It's a lifestyle that God desperately wants for you to live. He wants it. He wanted it for you so bad, he sent his only son to pay the price for your sin and to cover your past and to cover your shortcomings and to make a way for you to have a fresh start and a new start in life that the Bible describes as being born again. But he doesn't want you to just get to heaven. He wants this lifestyle of God's kingdom. He wants you fully alive and shining brightly in a relationship with him and in the purposes of God for your life. It's more than just an event, a conference, or a tent meeting. Listen, all those things are good. But when we condense it to that, when revival is an event on a calendar, our tendency is to visit it and then go back to our normal life. And so God's calling us to live in this constant state of being revived in him. That's what it means when I talk to you often about living a fully alive and shining brightly life in God's purposes. Like, there's a constant motion of God. It's why we call that class momentum, that we welcome new people into our church through, because we believe that God wants to make them aware of everything that God's made possible. God wants to set us free from anything that's hindered us from living that life. And then God wants to empower us to begin moving forward in what he's called us to do and be. So this is a lifestyle. Luke 17:21, nor will they say, Jesus talking, and he says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. He's talking to you and me. The kingdom of God is in us. And so it's for you and it's for now. I'm just catching you up to speed a little bit here before we get into the second half of my message. It's for you and it's for now. It's real time. And I encouraged you last week, don't get caught in the perpetual someday syndrome. Too many Christians get caught up in that. We never experience some of the things that God's called us to. We never enjoy or realize some of the things that God created us for because we're always saying, someday, when God does this, when I pay off my debt, when I get called by the church, all these things that we kind of say, when God does something, then I'll start doing it. God's a real-time God. He's an ever-present help. He's with you and he's for you today, right now. Nothing can separate you from his love. He's ready for you to begin to step into some things. And we talk about it often that we're going to dream big and start small. You know what the most important step is towards your dream, towards your vision, towards your destiny? The first one. And if you've already taken a step, you know what the most important step is towards your dream, towards your purpose, towards your vision, towards your destiny? The next one. As we just walk this thing out, we begin to realize, gosh, we're going somewhere. God's taking us somewhere. I'm different. I'm changed. I'm making progress. God's not finished with me. He's doing something in my life. Come on, that's the kind of life I want to live. How about you? So revival is, it's for you and it's for now. And let me encourage you with something this morning. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Challenges, obstacles, the hurt, the pain of life, loss, disappointments. So let me encourage you with something this morning. When you get really down, I mean really down in life, sometimes that's the moment that you begin to look up. And if that's where you find yourself this morning, in one of those situations or something else maybe I didn't name, be encouraged this morning. Revival is for you. It's about more of Jesus' life discovered and realized and enjoyed. If you find yourself in a difficult season, realize revival is especially for you. And I just want to revisit this. It's significant. Look at the definitions. These are just cut and paste, copy and pasted, rather, from the internet. And these are definitions of revival, an improvement in the condition or strength of something. Listen, if you're weak, wounded, weary, hurting, you're down and out, revival is for you. God wants to bring some things back to life. Another definition of revival, an instance of something becoming popular, relevant, active, or important again. A reawakening of activity or fervency. A restoration to physical, mental, or spiritual life, vitality, and success. Come on, doesn't that sound like a good life to live? And so this is what revival is. And we're talking about revival is atmosphere. And I want to continue to talk about it this week because I was prepared to kind of move into the next topic. And I feel like the Holy Spirit really just pushed pause in my heart. As I was praying this week, I pray every week. I just say, God, what is it that you want to speak to our church family? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you want to release? What is it that you want to encourage people with? How is it that you want to heal people's hearts and set them free and get them reconnected to knowing you and serving you and living out this life that you've made possible through Jesus? And I was prepared to move on to the next one. I just felt like the Holy Spirit just pushed pause and just said, listen, there's a need to just continue to talk about atmosphere. You've got to help people. This is so significant. Take a little time and just help people to understand and to begin to discern the atmospheres that exist over their heart and over their minds and over their homes and over your marriage and over the things that God's spoken over your life. There's an atmosphere. We'll get into it this morning. If you weren't here last week, you'll hear it for the first time. I'll remind you of some things. There's an atmosphere that exists over your life. Atmosphere is important. This is important. Establishing or shifting the atmosphere to an atmosphere that allows the blessing of God and the presence of God and the goodness of God and the favor of God and the peace of God to dwell over your life is significant. And how many know that's opposed by the enemy? That's opposed. Those are things that are opposed. It's not where the enemy wants you to live. And so atmosphere is important. God responds to atmosphere and we respond to atmosphere. Atmosphere is everywhere. Listen, there's some ways that you don't even maybe understand that you respond to atmosphere. And I shared a couple examples last week that there's atmosphere that you can discern when you walk into a restaurant, you know. And so we place a value on it. Like, we'll pay a little bit more to go to a restaurant that serves similar food to another restaurant because of the nicer atmosphere. We discern it. You can feel it. You can sense it. And I encourage you that you can feel an atmosphere shift in a Jayhawk basketball game. You can sense when the momentum swings to or away from the Jayhawks. You can sense it. There's an atmosphere that's in the building, and it's affecting things in that place. There's a momentum that God wants you to discover. I encourage you last week, if you felt overwhelmed and you felt like your life is passing you by, God wants to call a time out. He wants to gather you into the huddle, and he wants to encourage you and strengthen you so you can get back out there and experience what it means for God to begin to shift the momentum of your life so that you can begin to move forward again in God's purpose, so that you can begin to experience that life and victory and freedom that Jesus has made available. So this is important. I'm just underlining this. Atmosphere is important. God responds to it. God's everywhere, but there are certain times and places where we all have experienced it. There's an extra special measure of God's presence there. And a lot of times it's because of atmosphere. It's because we've done what God's word says, and two or three or more have gathered together in his name and have called upon him. We've enthroned him on the throne of our praises. And the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Atmosphere is important. God responds to it, and we respond to it. We live in a natural atmosphere. We also live in a spiritual atmosphere. And hear me this morning, the spiritual atmosphere over your life will determine much of the course of your life. So are you in Matthew chapter 13? This is our key scripture for this little mini-series here. Are you there? If you're there, say I'm there. Matthew chapter 13 in verse 1. Let's follow along with me as I read it out loud. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. But still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got ears. Listen, he's talking to you and me. You're hearing it this morning. He's saying, listen to this. Whenever God says something like that, he's just underlining it. He's saying, come on, if you're hearing this, pay attention to what I'm saying. Listen, there are seeds of destiny, potential, and purpose in the life of every person. That's you and that's me. But let me tell you something. Let me challenge you with something this morning. The fact that God has sent those seeds of purpose and destiny and potential and greatness into your life, because he sent those things in there, is no guarantee that you will realize them, no guarantee that you will enjoy the fruit of them, and no guarantee that they will bear the fruit that's intended to bring blessing to the world around you. It's what this passage is saying. There's seeds that are sown, but the atmosphere that the seeds are presented in and kept in, and the way that they're nourished and protected and cared for and tended, is what will determine how much fruit you get to experience. The atmosphere over your heart, the atmosphere over your mind, the atmosphere over your marriage, your home, your family, your life, the atmosphere will determine the course of much of your life. Listen, they say that you can't take it with you, right? Talking about stuff, you know, you can't take it with you. You know, I said a few weeks ago, I think Billy Graham was attributed with saying it first. You just never see a hearse, you know, a hearse that is part of a funeral. You'll never see it towing a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. But I was thinking about that. I was preparing for this message, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, there are some things you can take with you. And one of the greatest collections of seeds of purpose and destiny and greatness is in the cemetery of every city. Laid to rest, unfulfilled, unrealized, not enjoyed, and not released into the community that God's planted us. Listen, you know, it can sound a little harsh, but I just know it's true. And I'm encouraging you this morning. I'm challenging you this morning because I want this church to be an atmosphere. I want this place to be an atmosphere. I want the atmosphere over your life and your home and your marriage and your family. I want it to be a place where the seeds that God has sown in you, the things that he's called you to, the things that he created you for, that you don't go to the grave carrying those things inside you, but you quickly begin to hear the voice of God and the calling of God, and God begins to confirm and affirm, and there's an atmosphere of encouragement. There's an atmosphere in this church that's prophetic, that's speaking over people and calling things out of you. There's an atmosphere of ministry that's helping you to be healed and set free from some of the things that have maybe hindered you from realizing and walking in and enjoying those things that God's called you to. I don't know about you, but I want to live my very best life. I want to discover the things he's called me to. And I want to run the race with abandon. I want to do and accomplish everything that God's called me to. Here's what it means. We've got to stay connected to Jesus. The atmosphere where all that happens is an atmosphere where Jesus is Lord, where relationship with Jesus, where the presence of God is honored and welcomed. That's the atmosphere where the seeds of God, that's the atmosphere where those things that God has planted in your life can begin to germinate. That's the atmosphere where the things that God's planted in your life can begin to take root and spring forth. That's the atmosphere where the things that God's called you to can begin to bear fruit that you can enjoy and that those around you in your life can begin to partake of and enjoy. It's all about relationship with Jesus. Listen, God sends the seeds, but what I want to talk to you about this morning is that we're responsible for stewarding the atmosphere of those seeds. There's a part that you play. There's a part that I play. And I just want to encourage you this morning with how to begin to discern the atmosphere over your life. Begin to discern the atmosphere over that place in your heart. Begin to discern the atmosphere over your mind. Begin to discern the atmosphere over your relationship and begin to realize when it is ungodly. Begin to realize when the enemy has sown something, those tares that spring up along with the good things and begin to choke it up. Begin to realize when the seeds of God are in the heart so that you can begin to apprehend it and you can begin to seek God for how to shift it. You can begin to seek God for how to change it. Listen, Jesus rebuked people in Luke chapter 12, just to revisit that quickly again. He rebuked people. He said to the crowd in verse 54 through 56, he said, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. When the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. And if you live in Kansas, you say, don't worry, because tomorrow the north wind will blow, and it'll be 20 degrees. And he says, hypocrites, another translation says, foolish people, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? He's chastising people. And let me encourage you with something this morning. Jesus only chastises us and disciplines us because he's trying to connect us or reconnect us to the pathway to blessing. Whenever he rebukes or listen, he doesn't give spiritual spankings just for the sake of giving spiritual spankings. I don't know about you, but my parents used to say, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. And I used to just think, liar. And maybe I told you this before, but my brother and I, when we were kids, we used to, like, play in the alley. But right behind our house in Amarillo, Texas, there was our alley. Like, there we had alleys, you know, with dumpsters, and, like, the dump trucks would drive up and down there, you know, and people would, like, access rear garages from the alleys, you know. Like, not much of that around here, I don't think, but. But we did there in Amarillo. And so our house had an alley in the back and then a vacant field immediately behind it, probably 20, 30 acres, which was just awesome, you know, growing up as a kid. Like we I mean, what is it about little boys? Like we would just go out there and just dig holes. And we could spend hours and hours, you know, just digging holes and like climbing in them, you know. I hope that other boys did that. Otherwise, you guys are thinking, this guy's weird, man. Digging, playing in the dirt. So... So we would be out there playing, and one time this young couple moved in next door, and they had moved in, and I think they were kind of cleaning out some stuff. You know, they probably should have done it before they moved, so they didn't have to move it and then throw it out. But I can't really fault them; I've probably done the same thing. So they just had moved in a few days before, and then they were kind of going through their stuff, probably just kind of putting it into the places, and they had thrown a bunch of boxes of stuff out. My brother out there rummaging around in the boxes. And we found this this Texas Tech fraternity hazing paddle. Can you picture it like a hazing paddle? You know, like it had the double T of Texas Tech, like kind of branded on it right there. You know, and my brother and I, we were just like overcome by the spirit of moron, which in Greek means stupid. And So we saw this, and we just, like, carried it in to my dad, and we were like, look what we found. And he was just like, thank you very much. And needed a new one of these. And thankfully, he pried the Texas Tech logo off of there before he began to use it, you know, or else we would have, like, permanent Texas Tech brand, which I think is what they were there, what it was intended to accomplish. But I'm telling you, man, for the next 3 years, like, we were on the receiving end of this thing that we had willingly brought and put in my dad's hand, you know? And I think it must have been, like, a fraternity of, like, engineering people, because they, like, engineering majors, because they had, like, drilled holes in it, like, perfectly placed, you know, to create the maximum speed, you know? So Jesus is disciplining them, but he only disciplines you when he's trying to get you back on track to the life that will connect you to the most blessing of God possible. He doesn't give spankings just for the sake of spanking. Listen, we need to become soft-hearted to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the ways to begin to discern atmospheres. Just say, God, whenever there's an atmosphere over my heart that is becoming hard or prideful or angry or jealous or envious or critical, or Lord, would you just graciously just discipline me? Help me to just get back on track, back to an atmosphere of peace and joy and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and all this, the fruit of your Spirit, God. That's what I want the atmosphere of my life and my relationships to be about. Listen, God's he was after those guys. He was getting after them because he was trying to help them to see the significance of discerning spiritual atmosphere. And we're good, just like they were. He was saying, you can look around at the clouds, you can kind of know what's going on, but you become dull to the things that I'm doing in the Spirit. And how many of us can do the same way? We're connected to our checking account and our business and the things that are natural, but we need to, God's reminding us, care as much about some of those things as you care about the spiritual atmosphere over your heart, your mind, your relationships. The spiritual atmosphere of your life is going to determine much of the course of your life and the health of your relationships. Listen, God's here this morning. He's reminding us of some things. He's revealing and he's reminding of some things. Just a reprioritization. We get focused on earthly things so easily. And he's just saying, come on, there's a spiritual calling. There's a destiny. There's a prayer. You can gain the whole world and you can lose your soul. You can conquer the entire globe and you can lose your own home. Or your health. You can become popular with millions of people. You see it happen every day, and you can be estranged from your own family. And he's reminding us today of some things that really matter. Knowing God and living for God. Treasuring our families. Living a life that is about serving God and serving others. Building God's kingdom. Listen, there are seeds of potential and kingdom purpose and kingdom destiny that he's sown in your life. He's calling you to guard the atmosphere so that those things can begin to spring to life. Because he wants you to enjoy. Listen, it starts with you. The farmer eats first. You know, the farmer partakes of it first. It starts with you. He wants you to be enjoying those things that he's sown into your life. It's not all about just what you can do. But because you freely receive, God's word says, you'd begin to freely give. It's like, man, I've experienced and I've tasted and seen and known that the Lord is good. And I've experienced the joy of God and I've experienced the peace of God, even in the midst of trials and storms. And I got to get more people connected to this life because it's the only way to live. Listen, the atmosphere over your life determines how those seeds begin to spring forth. We get used to atmospheres. Listen, sometimes it's because it's all you've ever known or it's all you can remember. We don't know that it can be different or better. It's why we got to learn to discern. It's why we got to learn to what it looks like to have a godly atmosphere over your life. And what I'm talking to you about this morning is learning to discern. There might be some areas this morning that you've grown accustomed to. We grow accustomed to atmospheres. And when an atmosphere is sustained for a long time, it creates a climate. And there's a climate in South Texas, in Brownsville, Texas, that we came to that's different than the climate of Lawrence, Kansas. And the people that have lived there for a long time in that climate, they come here and the weather here affects them differently than it affects you. And there's a climate there and you move there and the weather there would affect you differently than it affects the people that have lived there. We grow accustomed to things, good or bad. And what I want to encourage you with this morning is that there's some climates over your heart, over your life, and over your mind that might not be God's best. And maybe you've grown accustomed to it. And the first step is beginning to recognize it and say, you know what? That thing that got sown into my life, that atmosphere that's been holding me down and hindering me, that's not God's very best for me.
And I want to encourage you this morning that it's possible for it to shift. It's possible for it to change. It's possible for God to move. Listen, what he did for you at the point of your salvation when you were born again, God's still in the business of daily and continually you being reborn and coming alive and being revived in God. The same thing that he did there that changed the app. Come on, how many of you can relate? When you got born again and you got saved, I don't know about you, but I know for me, the atmosphere over my heart changed. The atmosphere over my heart shifted. Some things I was even opposed to, I began to run into and pursue and embrace. And it became the very life, that became the lifeblood. It became my source and my strength. And the very way that God did that, he'll do it again today. He'll help you by his Holy Spirit to recognize those things that will hold you back and limit you. And today, because he loves you so much, because of his grace and his mercy towards you, and because of the good plans that he has for you, according to Jeremiah 29, he's willing to begin to shift the atmosphere. But there's a part that we have to play, and it's responding to God in faith. And it's first recognizing and saying, God, you know what? I'm not settling for that. I'm stepping out and I'm stepping into what you want for me. I'm recognizing that atmosphere. And I just want to just share a few things. There's a lot of different atmospheres, but there, for some of us, maybe there's an atmosphere of strife in your life. Today, God wants to shift it. But there's a part that we have to play to say, God, that atmosphere of strife over that relationship, I know it's not your best. And I know that in that atmosphere, some seeds that you've intended to grow and some fruit that you've created us to enjoy in that relationship and my marriage with whoever it is. I understand and I'm recognizing this morning that we've allowed that to come in. And today, God, we're taking a stand against it. We're stepping out in faith and we're asking you to come and do what we can't do. Our part is to respond in faith, and then God does the miracle. Strive to peace. Depression to joy, rejection to acceptance, confusion shifted to a place of confidence and trust, because your identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. All else is shifting sands. Worship team, would you come up here and begin and prepare to help us to dismiss with a song. God's shifting atmospheres this morning, the atmosphere of suspicion, thinking the worst, expecting the worst, an atmosphere of trust and hope, atmosphere of death. He's shifting it this morning to an atmosphere of life. Perhaps the greatest single thing that opposes the life of God and a life of faith and an atmosphere where the seeds of God can come to life and grow and spring forth and bear fruit in your life is the atmosphere of fear. The Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power. He gives us a spirit of love. He gives us a sound mind, a mind that's made up, a mind that's settled, a mind that is confident, not in our own strength, but in faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, would you stand to your feet this morning? God has not given us a spirit of fear. In God's word, in Deuteronomy 31, Joshua 1 and 5 and 6, and 1 Chronicles 28, Psalm 31 says, be strong and be of good courage. Isaiah 41, 10 says, fear not, I'm with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Listen, this morning, whatever it is in your life, but I believe that one of the key areas is fear. God wants to shift it today. God wants to shift it today. And so I want to ask you, right where you stand this morning, as we prepare to begin to sing this song here in a moment, to acknowledge to God, say, God, in that place where that atmosphere has been introduced into my life, maybe it was a word that got spoken over you, maybe it was a lie, a deception, maybe it was part of the way you were raised, something that just entered into your life that's created an atmosphere that's kept the word of God, the seeds of God, from springing forth in your life. It's hindered you. It's held you back. It's kept you from experiencing all that you know that God's wanted for you in some area of your life. This morning, would you do your part and would you just present that area before God? Sometimes it's good for us to even take our part, take ownership of our part, Lord, just say, Lord, we just repent, God. In that place where I've held on to that thing, in that place where I've found my identity and my security in that area, I let it go to you, God, today. I release it today to you, God. And I respond to you in faith, and I ask you to come now and to do the thing that I cannot do. I'm responding in faith, and I'm asking you to shift the atmosphere, to do a miracle, to begin to speak a new and a different and a better word over my life that causes me to have a new atmosphere over a promise of God, over a relationship that God's called you to. Lord, we thank you, God, that there's no fear in love, but perfect love, and that's who you are. Cast out all fear. And you've said you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, God. You are with us. And so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So come on, team. Let's begin to sing this. Let's begin to sing this with all of our heart, declaring a new word over our life. That we're no longer slaves to fear. We're children of the Most High God. Our identity is found in Him. The atmosphere of our heart is found in Him. Our faith, our hope, and our trust is placed in Him and Him alone. In the places where there have been an atmosphere that's been spoken, in a place where something needs to shift today, we're trusting you to do it, God. Come on, sing it out, team. Sing it out, team. Come on, church, sing it out this morning.